Good morning. And I also am required to read this slide. The following personal financial relationship with commercial interest relevant to this presentation existed during the relationships to disclose. I can do this in Spanish too. August 1st, 2012. That's a day life changed for a health center. That's a day life changed for its patients. It's also the day the life changed for a community. And what we're going to talk about today, the portion of this presentation, is to talk about a community development project and the impact it had in several areas. First one's going to be the impact that it had on the economy, both the economy of the health center, the economy of the community, the environment, both literal and figurative, and the figurative environment, the impact that it had on access, and the facility itself. Now, the economic development. You can't build a new structure without creating jobs. From a construction standpoint, the health center created or was responsible for creating 600 construction jobs during this building process. Now, construction workers, the interesting thing about them is that they need to eat. This had an impact on the square. And we don't have the final statistics yet as far as the actual impact as far as employment within the square, but this is what we saw. There was a small bakery about a block from the health center. We saw the bakery go through a complete renovation. The bakery was also making some really good baked goods, which we were the recipients of every week during our construction meetings. We also met an individual in the square who decided to open up a coffee shop, a new coffee shop, and he was so excited because he was also going to offer Wi-Fi. So we saw this impact directly every week in the square itself, and we're still continuing to see that impact. And as far as retail, the health center has two retail tenants. It has a bank and it has a pharmacy. The pharmacy is the first pharmacy in 30 years in Mattapan Square. That created new jobs. Also, the health center, and we talked about some of the new businesses and some of the businesses that are revitalizing themselves as more employment hits this area. We saw a change in, for example, the residential properties within the area. Former location is at 1425 Blue Hill Ave. The new location is at 1575 Blue Hill Ave. It's roughly about a mile. We have seen this, we've seen an entire block and a half, just in that small area of apartment complexes being completely renovated. Mattapan has the largest concentration of home ownership, and we're starting to see sections of Mattapan very slowly become revitalized and renovated. And as far as the health center, we are the largest employer in the Mattapan neighborhood. We also have a growth strategy. The building is capable, we're capable of adding another 10,000 square feet to add to our employment numbers. The impact on the environment, and we can divide this up into two sections. First of all, the site itself. One of the properties that we purchased was a former publishing company, small publishing company. Before that, it was a gas station. You can imagine what was underneath the ground from that gas station. So we received a $400,000 brownfield grant for remediation. Dirt was literally loaded on trucks and moved out and replenished with, this sounds strange, but fresh dirt. It's an environmentally clean site. It's the cleanest this site has been in over 50 years. The impact also is, and the story we like to tell is, as far as reduction in crime, once again, we've only been there a year, so we don't have actual statistics yet, other than just what we've observed ourselves. And the story we like to tell in this area is, we received a call from the lobby saying that there was a visitor that wanted to come up. So I went into Dr. Young's office and said, I think you and I need to go to the elevator. And she goes, why? And I said, I think the police commissioner's coming up. The police commissioner was making rounds in the square. All of a sudden, the elevator doors open up. Our police commissioner comes off the elevator with 8 uniformed policemen. Dr. Young's first response was, we didn't do it. And what's interesting is our security guard stopped him. He wasn't on the guest list. And he actually complimented the security guard because she was doing her job. This is an example of the pride that our staff, our employees, our contractors take in our new facility. And the impact, the crime impact that it had is one of the businesses that we purchased was a tavern. The tavern was extremely busy at all hours of the day and night, especially on the weekends. And what the police commissioner told us was that his officers look forward to working in the square now because it has become so quiet. So keep in mind, the tavern is open. Three or four fights break out every Friday and Saturday night. Then there was a restaurant across the street that was an after-hours restaurant. So the fights would just go from the tavern to the restaurant until about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. We removed the tavern. So now the square has become extremely quiet after hours. The other thing is the building was designed to be a community place, a place where people can come together. So this is just a small example of the, how our conference rooms are now being used. We're hosting Weight Watchers as part of the mayor's plan to increase just additional nutrition programs. We're offering discount services as a result of that to our own patients. The Boston Redevelopment Authority is hosting meetings regarding a new transit stop in about a mile and a half, about half a mile from the health center. And we've got crime prevention programs, which meet regularly, and we've also got some training programs that meet within the building. This is what the building was designed for. It goes beyond just providing primary care services. It's about access. It's about access and having a safe place to go. If we reduce crimes, studies have shown people are more apt to get out and exercise more. This is the beginning of that process. As far as increased access, and we've touched on a couple of these areas, both our primary care services, for example, in medical and dental, we've doubled the capacity, we've doubled our exam rooms, we've doubled our dental operatories, and we've been able to expand our hours. If people can't come in during normal business hours, we're open until 8 o'clock four evenings. We're open on the weekends. This building has allowed us to do that and enhance our services. Sharon talked about mammography, and I have two stories to talk about mammography. I'll start off with my second encounter with mammography. Now, I had recently started at the health center, and I saw a check request for a cab company. And I thought I was being pretty smart because I rejected it, because it was a rather large expenditure for cab fare. And I thought, there's no way a cab fare could cost this much money. Somebody made a mistake. So, of course, I rejected it. I returned it back to the controller, and I thought I was being pretty smart. Controller comes in and says, why are you rejecting this? Very polite. And I said, well, it's too much. And he goes, actually, we negotiated a pretty good rate. I said, for one cab fare? And he goes, that's for mammography services. We paid the cab driver for the entire day for mammography. So that was my second introduction to mammography, which I thought was extremely innovative. Now, my first encounter was my first week. I was meeting with my new boss, Dr. Young, and Dr. Young is sharing with me the new services that we're going to offer, and she mentioned mammography. Now, I thought I was being very clever. Well, we should do a business plan. You know, mammography really doesn't make money. I'm looking at this as a CFO. Maybe, you know, we need to get more innovative. I'm not going to share the details of her response other than to say our women are dying. Now, this was the meaning of heaven. She said, our women are dying. This community needs mammography. I have no doubt we will all figure out how to have mammography in the new building. We have mammography at 1575 Blue Avenue. But as Sharon explained, we went from an environment of a van in a church that was extremely unreliable to having the service in the building. And we, without doubt, we figured out how to make it work. Now, access. One of the things that we've added, and the building allows us to do this, is we came from an environment of one conference room. So now we have several conference rooms, and the way the architects designed it is the conference rooms are very, very flexible. So what we did was we can see three patients in about an hour and a half in dental. A group visit allows 10 patients in that same time period. So there's a demand for dental services in Boston, in the state, in the country, and there's a backlog. This allows us to provide more access to patients. So this is the setup of how the room was designed. And also, if you'll look past that opening right in the middle of the room, those doors are designed to completely open up. There's something very foreign to me that's right on the other side of that room, and I've got a slide that I'm going to show you a little later, something that I'm learning about in this job, which is another service that Dr. Young wanted to provide. But these group visits in the building allows us better access, allows our patients more access to our services. We talked about the Nutrition Education Center, which is just behind that door. What we're offering also is children and adolescent programs and adult programs for nutrition. It's one thing to tell someone how to eat right. It's something very, very different to show them how to eat right, and I actually fall in that category. And then the other thing is, remember I mentioned we have a pharmacy tenant now for the first time in 30 years, so our patients can have their doctor's appointment or go downstairs, go to this pharmacy, and have their prescriptions filled. It's all electronically connected. Now I'm going to show you this room that is very, very foreign to me. It's a kitchen. I don't cook, but I'm learning how. Somebody asked me if I knew how to turn on the oven, and I understand numbers. I can do financial spreadsheets. Turning on an oven is a very different challenge. This is our Nutrition Education Center. And we have a nutritionist who will host classes here. And I wanted to point out those doors because something that happened one evening was we were walking out of the building, and the conference rooms on the third floor were being used. We had a meeting on the community room on the ground floor, and what we saw in this room was our nutritionist, and she had about 10 to 12 children in chairs, and they had paper chef's hats, and the parents were sitting where we had the dental set up facing toward the children. And they were really engaged in what was being cooked, and our response was we felt that this is when the building is the happiest, when it's full and it's busy and it's occupied. There's a crime prevention program in the community room, there was a nutrition program in this room, all happening at the same time, which we couldn't do in our former facility. Once again, it's about access. It's about giving people a safe place to go. Now, all of this translates to, and the best intentions of public health, the best intentions of providing services, at some point, you're going to need bricks and mortar. You're going to need a facility you're going to need somewhere to organize from and somewhere to provide these services. So this picture it's from Stephen Bradley Associates, which were our architects. This picture is significant because it represents the dream. This is all the health center had to go on for several years. Now, we had one small conference room at 1425 Blue Hill Ave. So that conference room was used for donor meetings. It was used for some staff meetings. It was used for our board meetings. So we had this image on a poster board. We saw this image pretty much every day for several years. During the longest days, during the darkest days, this was the dream. This is the backside of it, complete with landscaping. And I never knew there was so much involved in landscaping until after we started the project. In the city of Boston, you have to get permission to cut a tree down. And for every tree you cut down, you have to replace it. Actually, you have to pay a fee to cut a tree down. And then you get the fee back when you put the tree back. So these are some of the things that we learned that we never had any idea that would be valuable to us. But this is the backside of the building. So, our journey started off with a vision, and that vision involved talking to the staff. Now, one of the things that happened was staff decided, for example, the colors that were going to be used on certain floors. Dental wanted blue, medical wanted green. Then there were board and community meetings. There was a total of 6 meetings within the community. In the city of Boston, it is a requirement, it is helpful to reach out to your stakeholders. So the health center had 6 community meetings to talk about the project, to talk about the impact. This was significant because this communication between the health center and the community really helped the process move along. Then we had the pre-development team, and I won't read the list completely. Then we had the development team itself during the construction phase. So the facility itself, for example, the community meetings, we met with local groups. The next point is very significant because of all the regulatory agencies. In order to do business in any municipality, you have to coordinate with the city, the state, the feds. And there were times when the feds actually disagreed with what the city wanted, and the city would disagree with what the state wanted. So there was a lot of coordination effort. Now, at some point, you got to talk about money. All of our best intentions, all of our hopes, and all of our dreams, you got to figure out how you're going to pay for it. So it's a $34 million project. And the major categories of the project itself were the acquisition of land. The health center was able to purchase 8 parcels of land through 5 owners. There's the direct construction cost, which is the most significant cost, and that's actually the cost of the building itself. Soft costs represent the legal fees, the permits, the architectural fees, equipment, and then fundraising and outreach. One of the gifts that we were able to give to the community is we all want the best for our families. We all want the best for our patients. We were able to deliver on that. Every piece of equipment, every keyboard, every mouse, every piece of equipment, medical equipment, dental equipment, is new in the building. How do we pay for it? $34 million project. The major buckets of funding are one of the most significant ones was, it's something for this administration to say, access for all. You got to put your money there. And we received $11,550,000 stimulus grant through the ERA FIP program. It was $11,550,000 through the feds. President Obama has said, access for all. This was one way to do it. There was $2 billion designated to health centers as part of this outreach program, as part of this access program. We were the recipients of that. The commercial loan, actually, the philanthropy was a $12 million philanthropic program, which we met. The other thing is a commercial loan. We have a $5.2 million loan on the property itself. And the two tenants that we have, a bank and the pharmacy, both of those tenants pay the mortgage. Those go into a lockbox and pay the mortgage. The balance of it, which is about $4.2 to $4.5 million, is what are called new market tax credits. We're only required to pay interest on those loans for 7 years. At the end of 7 years, the principal goes away. So at the end of 7 years, what the health center is going to be left with is a $34 million project with $5.2 million mortgage. This is what we started with. So now we've got the money. Now we've got the budget, and we've raised the money. In this building, right in the middle of the building, is a two-story structure where the bank resided. And if you go over where the white car is, that tiny, tiny little place was the tavern. That was the tavern that we purchased. And I was not allowed to keep a liquor license even for one day, because in Boston you can make a lot of money on a liquor license. I was told absolutely not. The health center will not touch the liquor license. Then right behind it was an auto body shop. All of these buildings were torn down. And this is what we end up with. This is a realization of the dream. Now, what I would recommend, if anyone's going to build a new structure, have your architects give you a safe rendition of the building, because we sent Dr. Young's administrative assistant to cross two lanes of traffic to try to get the same angle, because we wanted to be artistic and get the angles to match. This is the building. The bank is on the lower right-hand side. The pharmacy is on the left-hand side. It is a combination of glass. You're never more than 15 to 20 feet away from a window. It is steel. It is the warmth of the terracotta. It is an inviting building. It is an inviting structure. And we say that we're Boston strong, and we're also Mattapan Community Health Center strong. Thank you.
Thank you, Gwali. Our final panelist is Dr. Michael Hollick, who has a PhD and an MD. He's the professor of medicine, physiology, and biophysics at Boston University School of Medicine. He sees patients and is a prolific author. Dr. Hollick is a pioneering clinical researcher for vitamin D and is a special, special friend of Mattapan Community Health Center. He went to medical school at the University of Wisconsin and came to Boston to do his residency training at Mass General Hospital, and he hasn't left yet. So, Dr. Hollick.